Good morning. Maybe I need to turn it upside down or right side up. I want to unpack this passage quickly this morning, and then we have a missions report from Chris and Katie. I'll introduce them later, and they'll come up and share. As I like to do, I've got the passage behind me shortly. There we go. Grammatically laid out. Some of you are as fussy about grammar as I am. It's usually somewhat significant. So let's jump right in and look at it. Paul quotes Joel 2, verse 32, when he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Notice that. Everyone who calls. So who? Everyone. What do they got to do? They got to call on the name of the Lord. And what's the result of doing that? They'll be saved. I don't know that you can get a simpler presentation of the gospel. In verse 14, Paul works back from this calling on the Lord to the steps that come before it. Okay, so he works back. Belief is the result of preaching of the gospel, which is the result of being sent to preach the gospel. And then he uses four rhetorical questions to outline the sequence if a person is to be saved, as verse 13 talks about. These steps are in reverse order to what Paul cites. The sending of preachers, preaching, hearing the message about Christ, believing in Christ, and calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 15 confirms that preaching the good news is needed if people are to hear and be saved. It's important. And when we use the word preaching, we're not talking about what I'm doing this morning. We're talking about sharing the gospel. People need to hear to be saved. And that verse also suggests that the last condition for salvation has been met. Preachers have been sent. And that draws me to something that indicates that God has already done so. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," you and I don't build the church. God builds the church. And guess who it belongs to? Jesus said, "I will build the church, and I will build my church." He sent out people like Paul and other apostles to preach the good news. And while Paul is not calling on the church to send out missionaries with a message of the gospel, he is nevertheless clearly assuming that it needs to be done. People can only believe in Jesus when they hear about him, and they can hear about him only when someone presents the good news. The beginning, the progress, and the strength of faith are by hearing. As Paul says in verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message. And faith depends on knowledge. You need to know. One must hear the gospel before one can be expected either to receive it or to reject it. Living missionally at home and abroad must take top priority in the life of the church. I know we often use the word missionary to refer to people that are either jumping the pond or going cross-culturally. And those of you going to Thompson, that's going to be a cross-cultural experience for you. Tansei. I don't know a whole lot of Cree, but there you go. You'll have more when you come back. Through preaching, hearing, and trusting, people are brought to call upon the name of the Lord. And that last verse, the beauty of the feet of the messengers, refers to their eagerness to carry the good tidings. People do need to hear if they are to believe, which means they need a messenger. And that holds true for here at home as well as abroad. The bare fact of that need, coupled with the fact that we have God's good news, constitutes a divine commission. I think it was Keith Green that had a song that said, "If God hasn't told you to stay, that means you go." That's very interesting. We do not need a special call to full-time service to be sent by God. We are sent to our neighbors and friends, compelled simply by knowing what can transform their lives and their eternity. The message has to be communicated by word of mouth and by a life of witness. Christians are saved to serve, and an important element of that service is to bear witness to the saving power of Christ. The task is too big for a handful of preachers and foreign missionaries. It actually requires all of us to engage and participate. If messengers aren't mobilized, there can be no positive response. And verse 15 underscores the importance of those who will go and share the message. Paul declares how beautiful and timely are the feet of those who bring the good news. Proclamation of the gospel is paramount for the church to expand. And responding in faith requires hearing, and hearing requires a messenger. Paul thus reinforces the critical role played by those who carry forth the gospel, at home and abroad. And his logical sequence of salvation, calling on the Lord, requires belief. Belief requires hearing, and hearing requires a messenger. So, this morning, not only did we pray for our team that's going up to Midway, going north, we also want to hear from a couple that's going south. Very interesting, because this happens to be my youngest son and his wife and two grandchildren. Diana's already said that she now knows how her mom felt when we left. She's experiencing it. But I'm going to get Chris and Katie to come up and share, and then I'm going to pray for you guys before you sit down. So why don't you come up and share?
Good morning. Today we are excited to share about our journey in the last 3 years and how we feel God is calling us to join the mission field in Guadalajara, Mexico. We want to take some time to share how our journey began, where we've seen God's hand at work, and what the next years look like going forward for us. Missions and ministry have always been a part of my life, not necessarily my personal life, but somewhere in my sphere of family. Even before I was born, my parents were missionaries in Nicaragua. Shortly after I was born, we moved to Chihuahua, Mexico, and I spent the first 5 years of my life there. When we moved back to Steinbach, my dad worked at SBC for many years before my parents went back to the mission field, this time to Guadalajara, Mexico. They spent 5 years there and are now settled at home, loving on the grandkids. So as you can tell, missions has always been a part of my life. When I became an adult, I tried to pursue long-term missions on several different accounts. I started by volunteering with MDS and tried to get a job with them full-time, but it didn't work out. Still feeling like missions was my calling, I decided to take a leap of faith and surrender everything to God. I sold my truck and house and quit my long-standing job, all to show God that I was all in and ready to be used wherever He wanted me. There was nothing holding me to my life in Steinbach. However, God seemed to have a different idea for me, because it was during this time that I met Katie. We started dating, and while I still did some short-term mission work in Mexico, I also knew that I wanted to marry Katie, and the door to full-time missions work just didn't seem to be fully open. So I put missions on the back burner.
During my life, I've enjoyed some short-term missions trips with my youth group, both as a youth and as a leader. But other than that, and working at Rosa River Bible Camp for a few summers, my missions experience is limited. I got my Bachelor of Education right after high school, and I have been teaching middle school in Blumenort ever since. One of the reasons that middle school holds a special place in my heart is because I believe it's such a critical time in a person's life. These teens more than ever need someone to walk alongside them, and I wanted to be someone who is willing to show them love. Although not working officially in a ministry position, I've always wanted my classroom to be my mission field. As writer Bob Goff puts it, we don't need to call everything we do ministry anymore. Just call it Tuesday. That's what people who are becoming love do. And that's what I've always strived to do in my classroom.
Katie and I got married in 2020. We settled into our jobs, moved to Clefeld, and had our first child, Sawyer, at the beginning of 2022. We were and still are involved with senior youth program at KAMC, which is our home church, and have been involved in many other aspects of church life. In short, we felt like we were at home and at peace with where we were at. In the spring of 2023, we went with our youth group to Abundant Springs, which, for those of you who don't know, is a huge youth retreat for the EMC youth groups across Canada. It's a weekend filled with sessions, workshops, worship, and so much more.
It was during this weekend that I was able to take part in a workshop led by Calvin Thiessen. Not only is he a missionary in our home church in Kleefeld, but recently he's also been hired by the EMC conference to help train and teach new missionaries that are being sent out. Calvin led his workshop on missions, and in this session, I felt like God was stirring something in my heart. It was like this little mission seed was being planted. At first, I tried to ignore it or explain it away. I told myself that it was just me wanting a change or something new and exciting, but that it wasn't anything to actually act upon. However, I couldn't shake the thought. It kept coming up in my mind, and it felt so strong that I eventually had to entertain the idea that this was more than just an inkling, that this might actually be, in fact, be the Holy Spirit. I was quite nervous to talk to Chris about it. After all, we were happily settled in our lives, and what would he think about the possibility of picking up our lives and moving somewhere that could be far away? I was also nervous because I didn't have any direction to share with him. It was just missions. I didn't know what kind of missions work. I didn't know where. It was just a broad and vague thought. When I finally did work up the courage to bring it up, I was surprised, and if I'm being honest, slightly disappointed, when Chris was wholeheartedly on board to start praying intentionally. It was almost like I had been looking for a way out, kind of like I was saying to God, okay, I've done my part. I've shared what I think you're talking to me about, but Chris isn't on board, so let's just stop this missions idea. I sometimes picture God rubbing his hands together and laughing and thinking, just wait what I have in store for you. But the fact that he continues to pour out his patience and his grace on us just astounds me.
So Katie and I started praying specifically about missions. We didn't really have any clear vision yet, but we both knew that this was more than just a feeling. After we had been praying about it for a couple of weeks, we were approached by Calvin, same guy who led the missions session at Abundant Springs. He very bluntly just asked Katie if she'd be interested in teaching in Albania. This is where Calvin and his family were living at the time. He didn't know that we had started praying about missions or that it was his workshop at Abundant Springs that had started changing Katie's heart for missions. And yet he boldly brought up this crazy idea that we should move overseas. We believe that this is a testament to God's ability to use other people to speak his direction into our lives. It felt like some pieces of this large unknown puzzle were falling into place. Because we didn't have any other direction at this point, we decided to start pursuing Albania. We prayed and hoped that if this was the missions route that God wanted us to go in, he would continue to open doors for us, and if this wasn't the right path, he would close these doors. This was definitely an exercise in trusting God, especially because we had no idea if we were on the right track or not. We got in contact with a school, had a couple of Zoom calls with them, and were about to start the official application process when all of a sudden things changed.
At the beginning of July 2023, our nephew Nixon was rushed to the hospital with unknown health concerns. It was on this same day that we found out I had miscarried. Grieving the loss of our own baby and not knowing Nixon's fate had us both wondering what we should do about applying to teach in Albania. Neither of us could fully wrap our heads around the idea of going through such a big life change when we really felt like we needed to be close to family. Over the next 2 months, we continued to pray about where God was leading us in regards to missions, but we did push pause on the application process to teaching in Albania. Well, Nixon was eventually able to come home from the hospital. Praise the Lord. We had our second miscarriage in October of 2023. And that's when we felt that we needed to step back from pursuing missions altogether and focus on our family. We fell back into routine, and while we would still talk about what missions could look like maybe, it was not in the forefront of our hearts or our minds. In January of 2024, we had our third miscarriage. We really had no idea what God's plan was for us at this point. We felt lost. We had so many questions. One big question that I grappled with during this time was why God answers some prayers the way that we want and not others. I still don't know the answer, but I'm learning and leaning into the fact that God is so much bigger than we could ever comprehend. His timing and his ways are unclear to us, and while this doesn't always bring comfort, I also know that in the midst of unanswered prayers, God still walks with us. It took me a long time to surrender my timing and my plans to God, but when I finally started to, I found my bitterness over our lost babies also starting to disappear. I've also been learning that surrender is not a one-time thing. I think it's something we have to do daily, hourly, minute by minute. And we, or maybe just me, I often take back what I've surrendered to God because I think I can do better, and then I have to surrender it all over again. But I also think that acknowledging that we have to surrender is half the battle, and that this is where we need to start.
At the end of March 2024, we went along with our youth group to Guadalajara, Mexico, on a one-week missions trip. Not only were we able to connect with Angel and Blanca Infantes, we were also able to meet up with some close friends that my parents had made while they were living there. In fact, while we were there, Angel introduced me to a lady that was attending their house church. It turns out that this lady had been neighbors with my parents, but didn't make a commitment to follow Christ until later. When she found out who I was and who my parents were, she came up to me and said, "Now I know what Ernie and Diane were talking about all those years." You never know what seed you may have planted in someone, and you may never see the fruit from those seeds. However, God continues to transform people, and we are called to be obedient to how he might use us. Shortly after we got back, Katie brought up missions again. At this point, we weren't pregnant and had no idea if another child was even a possibility. But Katie said that we needed to take a step forward in faith. We both agreed that we didn't want to put our life on hold just for the hope that we could have another child. So we again started intentionally praying and asking God to guide us specifically in this calling to missions. Was this still where he wanted us? Where should we even begin?
So at the end of June 2024, 5 months after our last miscarriage, I found out I was pregnant again. Something that should have brought me joy only brought me fear. I was terrified to hope that this pregnancy might finally be different. I remember reading in my devotions at this time that he is still good and he still wants to do good for me. He wants me to have hope, risk hope, and get my hopes up, even after they are dashed once again. He wants this so much for me that he calls me to be a prisoner of hope. This is based on Zechariah chapter 9, where God calls the Israelites prisoners of hope because despite their difficult circumstances, their future is securely anchored in God's promises. God flips the identity of the Israelites from being prisoners of despair to instead being defined by the future that God is preparing for them. When I read this, I felt like God was speaking directly into my heart, quietly whispering to lean into him and to not be afraid to feel hope for our future because he's got this. And spoiler alert, as you've seen and probably heard this morning, our beautiful Oakley girl was born in February of 2025, which proves that indeed God has got this.
At the end of August 2024, we got an email from Gerald Reimer, who is the Director of Global Outreach for the EMC. He said he was reaching out to us after hearing that we might be interested in doing cross-cultural missions. We were both quite surprised because while we had still been praying about missions, we hadn't mentioned this to anyone other than close family. We both took this as a sign from God that maybe the missions door was being opened again. We met with Gerald shortly thereafter, and when it came up that they were looking for people to head to Guadalajara, something right away clicked in me. Katie and I discussed the possibility of pursuing missions in Mexico, and we both felt a lot of peace with this. Throughout the next year, we continued to meet with Gerald and discuss what missions in Guadalajara would look like. Just like Gideon did in the Old Testament, there were some fleeces that we laid out, asking God to show his hand and guide us in one direction or another. And again, just like Gideon, God patiently showed us what we asked him to, continuing to lead us forward on this path. In July of 2025, we applied to become EMC missionaries, and we were officially accepted last November.
Both Chris and I have talked about how we don't feel qualified to be working in ministry. Neither of us have gone to Bible school. We've never led Bible studies or worked in a ministry position before. But if God thinks that he can use us in Guadalajara, then we want to be obedient and we want to go where he is calling us. He doesn't call the equipped, but he does equip the called.
So where do we go from here? This August, we will be moving to Texas and attending a school called RGBI to learn Spanish for 1 year. After that, we will move down to Guadalajara and work with Angel and Blanca to continue the work that my parents and others have begun in starting a church. In fact, my parents have already had a group of people reach out to them and ask them when we are coming down, as they are excited to start a Bible study with us. Again, this just shows how God is working and fitting pieces of this puzzle together.
Along with hopefully starting a few Bible studies, we are interested in reaching out to young parents, to youth, and to young adults. While we have no idea what God has in store for us in Mexico, we are excited to see where he'll lead us.
Although we don't attend EFC regularly, I still consider this to be a second home church. We appreciate how this church has already supported us through prayer, and are thankful to know that you will continue praying for us. Along with prayer, doing full-time missions work does come with the need to raise financial support. If you would be interested in supporting us financially, either as a one-time donation or on a monthly basis, you can always come talk to us after or grab a prayer card from us, which has all the information needed to set up financial support. Our prayer cards also has a link to our newsletter if you would like to get updates and continue walking with us on this journey.
I also have the QR code up there, and I did ask Diane, and she said it was okay if I told you all you could take out your phones right now and scan the QR code. We'll leave it up there for a bit, and it's also on our prayer cards. We'd just like to finish by sharing some specific prayer requests. The first one is just our transition to Texas. We're moving in August, and we'll be starting new routines, being in school full-time, and our kids will be attending a new daycare. And it's going to be a big adjustment. So we just ask for prayer as we adjust, especially for our kids as they adjust, especially because we're going to be far away from family and friends. And then we also ask for prayer for the people of Guadalajara. While it's still a year away that we're going to be going there, Angel and Blanca are already there. And we just pray that their hearts would be open to receiving the good news, to receiving us into their lives, and that we would just be able to be the hands and feet of the Lord while we are there.
I'm going to find it so hard to go to Guadalajara on holidays. Diane had said that she wanted to not go here, here, and here because you know people and it won't be a holiday. I want to see other places. And then when this happened, I smirked and realized we're going to Guadalajara every winter for a little bit. So, yeah. I want to pray for you guys. And then after that, we're going to ask the praise band to come up and the communion ushers, and we're going to have communion together. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Chris and Katie and for the way that you have that you've led through the different steps and the different stages of your calling on their lives. And I pray that for this transition to Texas, that you would give them journey mercies, and also that they would have a wonderful year, not only learning Spanish, but connecting with other language students and building friendships that will last a lifetime. And then we pray for the folks in Guadalajara. We know that you are going before them. We know that your Holy Spirit is already working, has been for quite some time. And so we just pray that you would continue to build your church, that you would continue to call people into a relationship of faith with you. And so we commit their family, we commit them to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.